The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. A numbers game where sports betting lives. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland, producer number 9. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Hey, we're kind of matching today. I didn't plan on it. Is that greenish? Is that a green hue to that?
This is called a light blue.
Oh.
It's like a Carolina blue.
Never mind then. We're not.
What do you got there?
I got green. Oh. I got green.
All right. It's wonderful radio once again for the folks listening. What did we do yesterday? I was like, this is wonderful radio. Oh, microphone stands.
Yeah, microphones.
On the show today, Unscripted with Crackman, Bill Krakenberger. You know how that goes. That's hour number 2. It's actually Zach and Crack. Zach Cohen, VSiN senior editor, here to talk football with us, college and pro. He, of course, all over VSiN.com and on every show here on the network. And then the Larceny Bourbon Smooth Bet of the Week. And Kelly and I were tossing around what the Larceny Bourbon Smooth Bet of the Week was going to be, but we landed on something.
Yeah, found a good one.
What we initially thought we were going to have, but let's just say the bet has moved along since yesterday, was the Tigers bet that I made yesterday to make the playoffs. And the Tigers went into yesterday a game and a half behind the Minnesota Twins for the final playoff position in the American League with, again, less than 2 weeks left in the Major League Baseball season. Actually ends next Sunday, not this Sunday, but next Sunday. Tigers went ahead and beat the Royals once again, and the Twins lost in 10 to the Guardians. They took a 4-2 lead in the top half of the frame, and then the Guardians did what the Guardians do, and they clipped them. And so now that bet that was plus 450 yesterday, this is not going to be our Larceny Smooth Bet of the Week.
Right,
the bet that was plus 450 yesterday is now plus 140. On the Detroit Tigers to make the playoffs. Again, for those who jumped on this, here's where we are with that. They are now a half game behind the Twins for that position. One game back in the loss column. The Tigers are idle today. The Twins play the Guardians once again. If the Twins lose, Twins and Tigers are tied. And we lose, we would lose the tiebreaker. Again, the Twins won the season series 7-6, and MLB tiebreakers are head-to-head at the start. So we'd lose the tiebreaker, but at that point, each team would have 9 games left. Again, no matter what happens today, each team has 9 games left. If the Twins lose, they're tied, and all the Tigers would have to do is eclipse the Twins the rest of the way by 1 game. Obviously, if the Twins win today, the Tigers would have to eclipse them by 2 games in the final 9. But the positive side to that is the Tigers have the single easiest schedule remaining in baseball. Those 9 games are 3 against the White Sox, 3 against the Rays. This is in reverse order, actually, chronologically. And they begin that at Baltimore for 3. And if you're ever going to catch the birds, this would be the time to catch the Baltimore Orioles, because the O's, just to give a sense of how we, in our mind's eye in baseball, how we can perceive a team versus another, the Baltimore Orioles now have the exact same record as do the New York Mets, just to give you an idea.
Wow.
So, like, we seem to think of Baltimore as exalted. Obviously, they're different leagues, and Mets not so much, but they actually have the same exact record now. By the way, National League story, I have a 7.5-1 on the Braves to miss the playoffs. On this show, we have an 8-1 in the VSiN-wide contest of futures. We have the Braves at 8-1 to miss the playoffs. The Braves remain 2 games behind both the Diamondbacks and the Metropolitans for the final position in the National League playoff race. Also, again, in that case, those 3 teams have 10 games left, to be exact. All 3 of those clubs won yesterday. So that's where that stands. So we're almost home with that, but obviously there's still enough time to botch that one, because the Mets have the hardest remaining schedule in all of baseball. They are going to play 3 each against the Phillies, the Brewers, and those Braves. So this, the National League thing, our National League bet is I think further away from cashing, even though we have the 2 game bulge, as opposed to the Tigers one, which I think we have a better chance of cashing. But I hope to cash both of them, quite frankly. Here's the Mets. Will they make the playoffs? The Mets, yes, is minus 265. The no is plus 220. I would not tell anybody to bet that minus 265. I like our position on the Braves, obviously, but I would not tell anybody to jump in now. And here's the Tigers. Tigers now down to plus 140. So that is not our smooth bet of the week, but that's the update after one day on the plus 450.
Nice. Yeah, it's a nice
and that's why you
CLV,
get in,
if you will.
That's why you get in when you get in, yeah. Right? You see where the schedule is and you see what could happen and you try to get ahead of the move. There is Thursday Night Football tonight, though. That's the main thing. Week 3 of the National Football League begins. Special numbers game investigation reveals. It is the Patriots at the Jets. Number is 6 now. It was 6.5. I got in at 6.5, Kelly, with a little extra juice. I bought the half. So it's like minus 122 where I have it on the 6.5. This is a game where I expect, by the way, the total 38.5. And that, to me, more than anything, big spread, low total, sort of dictates when we did guessing lines on Monday, and usually the first reaction is the best one. And I thought there was value on the Patriots at 6.5. I just thought that that line is too big. I still feel that way. I think we will get an ugly football game tonight.
Yeah.
Sean Corner over at Action, who does such a great job previewing games with some interesting stats, using 6 or more offensive linemen, the Patriots, on an NFL high 26 plays this season and running the ball on 25 of those when they use 6 or more offensive linemen. Jacoby Brissett, in tandem with that, has been under pressure on 44% of his dropbacks this year, the second highest rate in the league, while the Jets have generated the highest pressure of opposing quarterbacks at 44%. So put all that in the mix, and it's like the Patriots know how to do one thing and one thing alone, and they probably should do that one thing with that Jets secondary being so good. But to complicate matters, you have some injuries tonight. Patriots left tackle Vidarian Lowe, left guard City Sow, they're out. And so Caden Wallace and Michael Jordan, not the same Michael Jordan, by the way, if you're scoring at home, not that guy, but a different Michael Jordan, they will fill in. And then on the Jets side, edge rusher Jermaine Johnson popped his Achilles. Not a good injury, ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you. Hassan Reddick would be a wonderful sort of replacement for that. But
yeah, if he was in the building, yeah.
He's still holding out. He's neither in the room nor the building.
That's right.
So you have Leki Fatu, who's also on injured reserve. So C.J. Mosley hasn't practiced this week. He's a game-time decision. Anyway, so that adds a little complication to it. But I expect a very, like, 38.5, most people are like, oh, it's got to go over. I don't think so. I think you're going to get a garden variety restaurant quality, just thinking of cliches, horrible Thursday night watch.
Yeah,
I think under is the, like, I'm taking the points with the Patriots. If you took the under, I wouldn't hate you either.
Yeah, I have no bets yet in the accounts. Under, if I had to go anywhere side or total, it would be under in this game, though. I think my initial reaction with it, too, when we were doing Guess the Lions, was this feels like a lot. Patriots look pretty good these first couple weeks, as you were kind of pointing out. I mean, obviously, you're catching 6, you're up to 6.5. There are a couple 6.5s available. You know, you're catching that many points with a total this short, those points are worth even more than what they would be with a higher total. So, totally get that, man. It just feels like this Jets team, it's going to put it together one of these weeks. I don't know what it is. And their defense has struggled a little bit. Mosley being out would be huge. And it looks like if that is going to be the case. So I don't really know what we get tonight, except I agree with you. I think it is an ugly Thursday night game. We've seen these first year head coaches struggle mightily on Thursday nights on the short week turnarounds. So that will be interesting to see with Mayo there in New England. But this is one that I will not be getting involved in.
Also, I chime in on this again, because I don't know if you guys know this, but I popped a couple Achilles in my day. And I just want to update how ridiculous I find people on this. All last year, I said, Rodgers cannot possibly come back. And there were quack doctors on Twitter and then some lizards. Oh, but Rodgers could come back. Clearly, you now get that he could never have, which I was like screaming about last year. And then this year, the sort of narrative early has been, oh, Cousins, and Rodgers slow to come back with their Achilles injuries. Well, after Monday night, nobody's saying a damn word about Cousins anymore, right, his Achilles,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And Rodgers, Rodgers, he popped his Achilles week 1 last year. Cousins did week 8, I believe. But the difference is they're almost 5 years difference in age. And that is the biggest factor in recovery, no matter what. 36 years old, Kirk Cousins, Rodgers about to be 41. So it may take a little more time for Rodgers, but it may not. Like, he just has to get over the mental hurdle.
Well, like, in quarterback years, 36 is old. 41 is right. Ancient. Like, I've kind of thought these first 2 weeks, too, of, like, how many people are having this reaction when, like, in fact, maybe it's just a couple old quarterbacks that haven't played that much football in the past year.
That's right. And you know, by the way, speaking of that, can we just also say this? Like, Dave Canales was asked, this is all just a parenthetical aside, he was asked about Bryce Young. He was like, hey, could he still be a franchise quarterback? He's like, absolutely. And I'm thinking to myself, like, maybe you should have played him in preseason besides one drive.
Yep.
Like, you kind of have something to do with this. And I know he stunk last year, but he was, like, shot of all confidence this year. Anyway, by the way, Rodgers also, his completion percentage about 9% lower than expected, according to Corner After Action, and his average intended air yards is just 5.4 yards downfield, the third lowest rate among qualified quarterbacks. That also kind of lends to an under tonight. And then if you want to, if you tuned in for punt rate news, this is your spot. New England, third biggest punt rate so far, third highest in the NFL. The Jets, seventh highest punt rate in the National Football League. And by the way, both punters really good, too. So, again, but just back to the Achilles thing. It's you know, if the Jets are to falter this year, it's not going to be because of that. Like, it will be okay. And in no world could he have come back last year.
Yeah. Now, I'm interested to see what we get tonight, especially out of this Patriots offense, if they can kind of keep this going. You know, I mean, they've looked better than I expected the first couple weeks and been relying heavily on the run game, obviously. Does the Jets defense slow that down? I'm not sure. My initial thought was team total under on the Patriots, but no, I actually think I just look full game under instead of that, because I don't think that the Jets' offense has looked all that explosive or impressive like you just talked about.
Also, listener had a great point yesterday, which is, hey, are we this quick to forget about our pre-flop thoughts? Like, this would have, if you had mapped out Survivor, you know, before the season started, this might have been a spot. But after watching these two teams for 2 weeks, I'm not purging.
Yeah, I know.
And what I've seen.
You've got Adam Chernoff on the pod later, right?
I do.
I know him, Drew Dinsick, both like the Jets tonight.
Oh, interesting. Okay, Zach Cohen, we'll find out what he thinks next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nobody knows football like VSiN, and for a limited time, you can get your first month of VSiN Pro for just $9.99. Sign up now, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see who has the best win percentage and ROI, 19 hours of live programming, proven betting systems, and our exclusive betting splits. Start a monthly subscription today, get your first month for only $9.99, or bet smarter through the entire NFL season with our football special. For just $175, don't miss out on these limited-time offers. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe and become a better. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin is a numbers game right here at VSiN, live from Circa. We'll read tweets as we always do throughout the show, but I just want to read this one that they flashed up on the second screen here. Guys back behind the wall here. Thank you guys for this. This is from Las Vegas 514. He goes, yo, I was listening to a replay of a numbers game. Did I hear that a young Gil played for Maplewood Football in Bethesda? I played for the Rockville Razorbacks. That's awesome. Were you the kid that blocked me in the back? LOL. Hashtag small world. Hashtag Pop Warner. This comes up because with all the praise we got for the Sirianni explanation, one guy was like, oh, I bet you didn't even coach Pop Warner. Whatever. And so I mentioned Maplewood. I didn't play for Maplewood, but Owen did. Owen Wright, who was on the Ravens practice squad last year and is now on IR for the Ravens, he played on Maplewood. So we would go to all his games and coach it up. So that was that. That was what that was about. Always I blocked you in the back.
Always great when you do figure out you played high school football, like in the same area. So we're like, what year? What year did you play?
Were you the guy who blocked me in the back? That's awesome. Las Vegas. DC football.
That's all I did was block people in the back.
Zach Cohen joins us now. He's a senior editor at VSiN, part of the glue that holds this operation together. You can follow him on Twitter at BettingOnX, which, of course, I refuse to call it. Still call it Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Zach?
I'm doing well. I don't call it X either, by the way. It's just my name.
Yeah. No, I hear you. It's good Twitter handle. Before we talk football, the tennis is no longer stateside. So, you know, when it was the U.S. Open, I could come on the show and say, here are my picks. It's in Thailand, on the ladies' side anyway. It's in Thailand and in Seoul, Korea. So for subscribers, VSiN.com/picks, every host, every guest, all of their picks in every sport is at VSiN.com/picks. And I'm betting that I didn't bet last week, but I am betting those two tournaments Split a couple $2 dogs last night. Yueyuan lost to Raducanu, but Podoroska got it done as north of a $2 dog for us over Siniakova. Are you betting either of these tournaments?
I've been betting a little bit, not as much. I don't like to bet on things I'm not awake for. I know that that's a little crazy, but like if I like, you know, an opportunity to jump in live and get out of a play or something, I will look for it. So I just don't like to wake up to bets. You know, winners, losers, I don't like to wake up to results.
Yeah. Oh, I wake up to results all the time. More ways than one, Zach, but that's a different show. All right, let's talk about tonight's game, Thursday Night Football. What do you think about the Patriots and the Jets? Jets favored by 6.
Yeah, I still really like the under in this game, even though it's, you know, really low at 38.5. I'd just be really surprised if this game ends up being high scoring in any way, shape, or form. I think the Patriots, we've seen through two games, they really want to run the football. They're fifth in the league in run frequency. The defense looks really solid. For the Jets, you know, I don't think they look great on either side of the ball right now. But I think one thing is clear is that they're not taking a lot of downfield shots with Aaron Rodgers right now. And they're also letting him play, you know, at his really slow pace offensively. So I think this is going to be a game that is really low in scoring for player props. I also kind of leaned into that with Ramondre Stevenson over his rushing attempts. I got a really bad number at that at 17.5. You can get that at 15.5 now. I know that they have some injuries along that offensive line, but I still think they're going to try to run the ball after seeing, you know, what the 49ers and Titans did to the Jets defensive line in the rushing game.
Would you take a flyer? I'm looking at first touchdown. Ramondre is plus 550 here at Circa. Would you take a flyer on that? He's the short shot, by the way.
I don't mind that at all. I mean, I'm not going to be playing that myself, but I do think that he has as good a shot as anyone.
Yeah. It does feel like an ugly under kind of football game. Now watch it be like this high scoring affair, but it really does feel like that, doesn't it?
Yep, and it's going to be an interesting game in general. I know that you can throw out the history between these teams because the Patriots for so long had Tom Brady and the Jets were terrible, but it will be interesting to see if the Jets can, you know, cover in this game and just kind of, you know, go two in a row against the Pats, you know, both straight up and against the spread for the first time in forever.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I do see people writing about this and they're like, the Patriots are like 17-1 in the last 18 or whatever the stat is.
No.
And I'm just
trends,
like,
people.
Oh my God.
Trends, yeah. there's sometimes they can be explained.
Like, come on. Can you take it one step further and maybe think as to why that might have been? Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are not walking through that door. Okay, let's go to college. You write frequently about the Heisman. Can we start there? What are your current thoughts about the Heisman? If someone wanted to bet that right now, who should they bet?
I would still take Dylan Gabriel. It's available at like plus 900. That was my pick in the offseason. I don't really think we've seen anything from him numbers-wise that would suggest he's not going to be a factor in it towards the end of the year. I know that there were some ugly wins early in the season. They didn't beat Idaho or Boise State the way that you probably would have wanted them to. But if you just look at his overall numbers this season, they're still pretty good. He finally figured it out, too, against Oregon State in a blowout last week. And I still kind of think that if he plays well at home against Ohio State in October, he's going to win this award. So I still think that's a really good number on him. Cam Ward's deservedly the favorite right now based on what we've seen so far, but I don't think that the implied probability is there for him at like plus 450 or plus 550.
Asking for a friend, what do you think about Eli Holstein's chances at Pitt?
He's putting up some insane numbers and they've won two games that they had no business winning, but I just don't think that they're going to go this season winning, you know, 9 or more games. I think he's going to have to do that in order for them to win. So that's really what's going to happen. It's not a bad play. Like, in terms of flyers this year, there's not that many, so I don't hate it that much. I will say I'm a little higher on Ashton Jeanty than I probably should be because I, you know, wrote in our offseason college football guide that you should really never touch a running back, but I also didn't expect someone to put up the numbers he did in week one and then go into Oregon and put up the numbers he did in a close loss. I think if Boise State ends up being the group of five representative, Jeanty is going to be right there in the conversation.
Yeah, Ashton Jeanty with a cool 6 touchdowns to start the season in Boise State's opener. All right, college football this week. It's week 3 in the NFL, but it's week 4, I guess, technically in college football. What do you like?
I really like Arkansas plus 3.5 against Auburn. I think that a lot of people are kind of jumping on Auburn now because, you know, Hank Brown played pretty well stepping in for Peyton Thorne last week, but they're playing New Mexico. That's the third worst defense in all college football. I think if Thorne played, he probably would have lit them up too. I still don't really trust this Auburn offense to, you know, generate big plays, especially against an Arkansas team that I think is capable of taking away the Tigers' running game, which was, you know, incredible last week and really made life easy on Brown. I also think, you know, Arkansas's offense has looked great under Bobby Petrino. I think Talon Green has come in and added, you know, a nice dual threat capability at the quarterback position. Jaquindon Jackson from Utah has been electric out of the backfields. I just kind of think that Arkansas might be the better team on both sides of the ball in this game. And I don't think the fact that this is being played in Auburn is going to be enough for them to overcome that.
All right, let's have another one in college football besides Arkansas and Auburn.
Yeah, this is going to be an ugly one, but kind of interesting. I think the over in Florida and Mississippi State, which is now 57.5, is something that I'm going to play. And it's less of a bet, you know, on the two offenses and more of a bet against the defenses. I think both of these teams really struggle to defend the pass. And I think that, you know, for as bad as things have been with the teams this year, I do kind of trust Florida to score points against Mississippi State, whether it's Graham Mertz or DJ Lagway under center. I think they're going to be able to get it done. Same thing goes for Mississippi State. I think Blake Shapen has looked pretty decent for them, even though they've been losing games. And Jeff Lebby, obviously, one of the best offensive coaches in the nation. So I think this is going to be a really high-scoring game. And I do think that Mississippi State's pretty live. I was hoping to get 7 on it. But, yeah, I'll be having my eyes on that because I do think we're on Billy Napier watch. I think if he loses this game, he's as good as gone.
Yeah, well, that's the speculation. Florida and Mississippi State total 57.5, by the way. Graham Mertz is seemingly in his 7th year of college football when you bring him up. Are you in Survivor, Zach?
I'm in different Survivor leagues, but I'm not in the Circa Survivor.
In your Circa, excuse me, in your Survivor, pardon me, in your Survivor League, how many entries initially were there?
Oh, God, I have no idea, to be honest. I think it was like 2,000.
Okay.
That's what it usually is. Yes. No, we're not talking big money here.
Well, still, 2,000 means, you know, means something. You might play it differently than if it were 20, right? Who are you thinking about playing this week? Or have you landed on
someone? I'm still thinking of going with the Raiders. I know that, you know, we got Bryce Young out of there now, but I don't really think that's going to be enough for, you know, Carolina to just suddenly turn it around. I think Las Vegas is a pretty solid football team playing at home. So in a tough week, I think that's where I'd go.
By the way, I just want to point out on Twitter, I was, you know, updating stats on Circa, and I mistakenly said that the 74, excuse me, let me get this right. I mistakenly said that the 72.8% of entries that were out in this year's Circa Survivor was just shy of the record from 2 years ago. But Circa corrected me. It was 67.2% through 2 weeks, 2 years ago. So this is the biggest carnage through 2 weeks in the short five-year history of Circa Survivor.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. 72.8% gone. By the way, the mark to beat after 3 weeks, if you're scoring at home, is 74.7%. So it wouldn't take much carnage here in week 3 to actually eclipse that. Zach, appreciate it as always, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Zach Cohen, Betting on X is where you can find him on Twitter. VSiN senior editor. We will come back. We will talk many things indeed, including, of course, Bill Krakenberger joining us. Will they make the playoffs in Major League Baseball? And next, the Larceny Bourbon Smooth Bet of the Week. That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Best listeners in the game. I mean that. I mean that sincere. This is from Robert SB01. Robert's B1. I don't know how we break
Robert's
that
boy?
Down. Robert's boy. Whoa. Gil said he has popped an Achilles. How has he never mentioned that before? What am I going to learn next? Kelly's more than a producer? That was kind of the joke, Robert. That's why I said it that way. Jimmy Lopez. Foul. My favorite part of A&G is betting the weekly over-under. How many times Gil subtly mentions his own Achilles injury? My least favorite part of A&G is every time I try to tag Kelly, it wants me to tag Kelly Blue Book instead. I'm not trying to sell a car. Yes, you are, Jimmy. I want to buy your car.
That's pretty funny.
But did people not get that that's why I was making the joke about it? I love when people regurgitate the joke back to you.
I think everybody got it.
As if the joke is on you. This is from Philip Morris. I can't, let's see here. He says, I can't find it on DK or FanDuel, but Baltimore to not make the playoffs, the Orioles to miss the playoffs, is a little interesting to me. Unlikely, but they do have Detroit, the Yankees, and Minnesota as their last three. I guess they need to make it close before I see something like that. Philip, I get it, if that is your real name, Philip Morris. I get it that it's I actually saw that too, and I'm like, could Baltimore miss this? They got to shape up. But it's one of those things we were talking about it yesterday where it's sort of like, the season is just short enough where they might just stagger in or stumble in, whichever we decided yesterday. But they are like, they're the poster child of these clubs that are just like, can the end of the season get here quick enough? But I get it. It is kind of tempting. Johnny Vegas talked to Crackman yesterday, was still not feeling well. Hope he can make it. He will be here. He will be here. Jeff at Golf Tacos. Glad you and he says he can't wait for Todd to break down. This is on the Megapod, on the Beating the Book feed, the Megapod today. Todd Wishnev, Will Hill and me, guest Adam Chernoff. He says, can't wait for Todd to break down the chaotic parking situation down there, near Heinz Field. That I don't do a good Pittsburgh accent. Good Yinzer. Epic battle of undefeated teams in Pitt this weekend. Dan Dare in that. Bentley. I thought Beeson went down during. Oh, we already read that one. We read that one as well. Let's see. This is, we didn't. Bentley, I thought Veasan went down during my commute yesterday, but now I realize I must have blacked out from rage over Kelly's The Wire blasphemy. The only contrarian opinion acceptable is season two is top two. That's exactly right.
Wait, what? What's the end? I don't understand. What's he saying at the end?
The only contrarian opinion acceptable is that season two is top two.
Why is that? Because most people think season two sucks?
I thought season two was one of the worst.
Okay.
It was the docks. That was the docks season. Yeah. Because 1-4 were just epic. This is from NCI95 Gambler. He says, I'm in North Carolina and don't have Detroit to make the playoffs available, but I do have the Twins to miss at plus 240. Any thoughts? Plus 240 is kind of right there.
We're going to discuss next segment. I'm going to throw a lot of these at Gil.
Okay.
I'm going to throw a lot.
Russell Ambrose, two survivors. I'm in offshore pick distribution for tonight. Pool one with 6,000 participants left, 12% are on the Jets in Survivor. And the one he has, pool two with 9,000 participants left, 15% are on the Jets tonight.
Wow.
So Survivor players who are still alive, we're rooting for the Pats.
Yeah, I mean, as much as when I say lean Patriots, I guess this means I lean heavy enough, Gil, or leaned heavy enough early in the week that I never even considered this game for Survivor. Yeah, it wasn't even a thought.
No, not for me. And last one here before we get to our segment here, Scott NOYFB. Check out the bottom of the 10th inning with the Mariners game. Oh, LOL. Okay, so a few things. The Mariners and the Yankees yesterday was one of these weird nights. It was a full slate of baseball yesterday, but for whatever reason, and I think it might have been scheduled this way, but it was seemingly was really odd. Every game was done except for the Yankees. So the Yankees Mariners was the only game being played for like 3 hours. It felt like last night. So everybody's eyes were kind of on it. The home plate umpire was atrocious. Like the strikeouts he was calling, the baseballs were like 2 inches off the plate. He's like, that's a strike. I got to go. It was so bad. Anyway, what Scott is referring to here is the bottom of the 10th last night, obviously, the Yankees had the Yankees had taken a one run lead in the top half of the inning. And then the Mariners had runners at first and third with nobody out. Obviously, the ghost runner started second. They got a single first and third. It was J-Rod. Julio Rodriguez was on third base. Forgive me. I can't remember who was up at the plate, but the bat came as he struck out. The bat came flying out of his hand towards J-Rod at third. J-Rod, to get out of the way, sort of, you know, went more steps than you'd want to in foul ground. He's like, oh my God, the bat. But the ball's still live.
I did not see this highlight.
So they go right to third base. They tag him out, double play. And of course the Yankees end up winning. Just unbelievable ending to that ball game.
Where did he hit the ball?
He did. It was a strikeout.
Oh, that's what I thought you said. Okay.
The bat went flying.
Oh, okay.
So J-Rod on third base, just for self-preservation, jumps off. But he doesn't jump off like, duck. He jumps off and like kind of nonchalants it into foul ground after he got away. Yeah, so then the catcher, very, very aware, goes to third, out number two. And they get out.
I think it's hard to complain about something happening. That's just like it's a freak thing to happen in baseball.
It is a freak thing.
Like, I'm not going to play the catcher. Like, he did the right thing there.
It's a heads-up play. Yeah, heads-up play. But it is also one of those things you watch. You're like, shouldn't they probably call time at that? You know, it's kind of like against the spirit of it. But nope, live ball. Yankees win. Yankees clinch a playoff berth.
Tell your teammate to hold on to that bat.
Yankees clinch a playoff berth. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the Larceny Smooth Bet of the Week. Smooth Bet of the Week presented by Larceny. We did bourbon. Lock in a win and seize tonight. Bardstown, Kentucky. 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely. Drink wisely. Kelly, I know that when you're drinking, you drink wisely and you think wisely in tandem.
That's right.
Larceny Smooth Bet of the Week this week. Cincinnati Bengals. I actually, am I allowed to say this? I actually bought it down to the 7, minus 122 on the Bengals. They're 7.5-point favorites, reduced juice. The Bengals, they're not going 0-3 against this outfit at Paycor Stadium. They're just not. I am a Washington Taco Holders fan. I love Jaden Daniels, but for as great as he's been, it's all been with his feet. This is an offense that has been consistent from 20 to 20. They just have not figured out how to get the ball in the end zone yet. They are giving up on defense. More importantly, 6.2 yards per play are the Washington Commodores. And Joe Burrow and the Bengals, after probably after the near miss against the Chiefs, a game they probably should have won, had every opportunity to win. They are not going to let the Commanders beat them. I think they blow them out here. I laid the 7. The Bengals are the smooth bet of the week.
Yeah, I think that Jaden Daniels, I don't think he's looked terrible so far by any means, but it's a rookie quarterback. And what happens with rookie quarterbacks that get drafted high, Gil, they're usually on pretty bad teams. And that's what the Commanders look like right now out of the gates. Let's see how the rest of the season goes. See how Jaden Daniels continues to develop. But I think this is the time of year you want to attack the rookie quarterbacks early in the year. The teams are still coming together. They're still coming together. And like you said, the Bengals, they looked a whole lot more like the Bengals themselves in Kansas City last week. I think you give them a easy defensive opponent like this week, everything starts to click offensively for Cincinnati. I expect them to win quite easily as well this week.
At 7.5, they are also my favorite teaser leg of the week as well. I paired them with the Minnesota Vikings. A lot of people love the Chargers as a teaser leg to pair with this. You got to look for a dance partner, obviously, with the teaser leg. But the Bengals, straight. And I bought it down to 7, just to be clear, is the Larceny Smooth Bet of the Week. Looking for a bourbon that's rewritten the entire playbook? Going against the grain is Larceny's whole game. Larceny uses wheat instead of rye in their mash bill for a smoother sip. And with 25% more wheat than the leading competitor, it brings unrivaled flavor to your bourbon lineup. So stop asking what if and place your bet already. Seize tonight with Larceny Bourbon. Find a bottle near you at LarcenyBourbon.com. A numbers game brought to you by Larceny Bourbon, Bardstown, Kentucky. 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely. Drink wisely. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. By the way, other bets that you've made in the National Football League this week are?
You know what? I've got a fair amount this week, actually, which kind of surprises me. I will say, though, nothing massive like last week. I felt like I had a couple big bets, Ravens, Texans, a bunch of stuff tied into that. It kind of went both ways. Texans was... But luckily grabbed a couple 5.5s on those, so I kind of split. Didn't you were on 6, right? So funny how numbers work. With that Texans game last week?
Yeah.
You had 6.
Yeah.
I had 6.5s and 5.5s. So it's like you lose one, win some. Okay, so what I got so far, Bucks laying 6.5. I played that on the opener. Titans money line, I played on the opener. You believe in any of the Jordan Love news? See, he practiced yesterday?
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be back this week. That would stun me.
I'm just happy to see Tua was placed on IR myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's I guess I'm a little concerned, but I don't really expect it to be played. Yeah. Cardinals, I took 3.5 on the opener, played over 51 in that game. Cowboys Niners teaser for me. And then I am under 44 on 49ers Rams, under 41.5 Dolphins Seahawks. And added last night, tip of the cap to Matt Brown, Brandon Ayuk over 63.5 receiving yards.
I have the Bengals again, -7, bought that down. The Bengals Vikings 6.2 leg teaser, as I mentioned. I do have the Patriots tonight. The Patriots tonight, as I mentioned earlier, +6.5. And the other one is, I wasn't quick enough to get to it, but I was right about the line move in the Saints game. I am on the Saints -2.5 against the Eagles. Sadly, I was in a cocoon and couldn't bet it with them as a dog. We'll come back. MLB questions abound. We'll go through them next.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
And another thing, Kelly, it's not one Achilles, it's two Achilles.
Oh, hey, everybody. Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? Introducing Sport Trade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. Minus 104 lines. Might that be something you're interested in? Instead of the typical minus 110, instant in-game betting and a concierge player service, SportTrade is perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. SportTrade live already in New Jersey, Colorado, and Iowa. Coming to Arizona this week and Virginia this fall. A little later, a few weeks later. Download SportTrade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. You got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Again, you can say mean things as long as it's funny. Ryan Hyatt, shadow producer of Primetime Action back in the day. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but until Kelly Bidlin has popped two Achilles tendons, we don't want to hear any injury, any injury analysis. Leave that to medical expert and youth sports legend Gil. Again, I didn't play for Maplewood. Just coaching him up. Man. This is from Lehman Forest. My kid's in Bethesda at NIH on a fellowship. Visit often and absolutely love all things about that area. Sports betting THC. Believe that's a weed reference, Kelly. They have it all down perfectly. Great restaurants also.
I wouldn't know. Never touch the stuff.
No, not that kind of guy. Chris Lee Miller. Hey, Crack. This is for Crack when he comes in. I want to let you know that I really look forward to your appearance every Thursday on Gil Show. Gil and Kelly, awesome show. There's no apostrophes here. There's no possessives.
Right.
Let me repeat that. I look forward to your appearance every Thursday on Gil Show. Gil and Kelly, awesome show. Listen every day during the week. I'm a better for it. Thank you, Chris Lee Miller. That was very nice of you.
Yes.
That's very nice of you. I like that you go three names as well. Chris Lee Miller. Scott, New York Mets 16. Yes, Scott, you are absolutely right. He says, who was that alert catcher that threw out J-Rod at third? Was it our 101 rookie of the year, Austin Wells? Yes, it was.
That's awesome.
Yes, it was. That honestly is an interesting play. Like, I've never – that's the thing about baseball. If you watch it enough, you're like, I can't possibly see anything I've never seen
right,
before.
Until you do,
and then
right?
That happens.
As well. Fall officially starts Sunday. I just looked that up. I don't know why I wanted to.
Are we falling back with the clock?
Oh, no. Zach Cohen and I had this conversation yesterday, actually.
Oh.
Because I was, booked him early, and he's like, I don't know if I can do that early once the clock's changed. And I was like, what is that, like next week?
Oh, yeah.
I looked it up. November 3rd.
Ooh, that's late.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too, right? Because he scared me when he said that. I was like, oh, boy, does this mean they're changing like next week or something? No, November 3rd.
November 3rd. Thank you, Kelly. That's something I need to know. That's actionable information is what that is. I hate it here when it's after that because then it's so dark in the morning.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Depressing. TJ Dietz. As a proud Yinzer from DeBerg, I'm very impressed with your attempt at Pittsburghese, Gil. Thank you. If you want to hear authentic Pittsburghese, Todd Wishnev on the Megapod pretty much every week has a Pittsburghese rant.
Yeah.
And it is Dantan. We're going Dantan to the Steelers game. So great. And then Charles in Connecticut. I'm in a small survivor with 66 entries. Only three left. Had to make two picks, though, in week two. That sort of explains it. Where can I hear that other show about your results when you wake up in the morning? I don't know. We're still working out the details, contract details for that one, Charles. Refine you, the Lobos are coming. He said Sport Trade is now live in Arizona. We have an update.
Nice.
Sport Trade is live in Arizona, if we're to believe Refine You. Thank you, Refine.
You got
to
at least check it out. Like, yes. That is, at least check it out. Like, when we're talking minus 104, that goes such a long way. You need to check it out. And whatever. If it's not something for you, then fine. But you got to, if you're doing this every day or regularly, you got to at least try it.
Yeah. I gotta get the Profit Boys on here though, because they're doing a sweepstakes thing, and I'm talking about you, Texas and California.
Ooh.
Like, you're involved in this too.
Florida?
So we gotta get the Profit Guy. Yeah,
Florida too. Nice.
Florida. I mean, too. I guess I'll check on.
I guess I'm assuming if California and Texas are.
Well, it's 40. It's 40 states deep on Profit. So that's okay. That opens up a whole another thing. Always appreciate the tweets. Kelly, we have a little segment here you've put together.
Yeah. So with MLB season coming down to the wire,
yes,
I just
sir.
Wanted to run through kind of every team by team with you and where we think they stand right now, whether they're going to make the playoffs or not. We've been getting a lot of tweets about it. You just made a bet on the Tigers. So
I
grabbed a few teams and just said, let's hit one by one, see what Gil thinks.
Did you just wink at me?
No, I did look a little bit of this. Okay. Little
just
bit
curious.
Of this.
I thought Kelly winked at me. It's like, this segment's great. Let me wink at him. All right.
All right, I'm starting with your Detroit Tigers. How about a current number, Gil Alexander? Would you bet the Detroit Tigers to make the playoffs?
No, I mean, I wouldn't bet at plus 140, even though I think they're going to make the playoffs. Again, this sort of makes, you know, new bettors' heads explode. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? You just bet them at plus 450. You think they're going to make the playoffs.
You bet them a day
and if
ago.
You think them, if you think they're going to make it, why wouldn't you bet at plus 140? Because... how can I put this? This is if you ran the rest of the season 100 times or 1,000 times or 10,000 times, if you did a simulation, plus 450 would represent plus EV, plus expected value. So in other words, the rate at which they would get to the playoffs makes that a good bet. But at plus 140, the bet is not a good bet, even though it might cash anyway. The way I like to say it is, you know, in a baseball game, if there's a plus 150 dog and someone asks you again, I've said this a number of times, oh, so you think that team that you're betting on at plus 150 is going to win? And my answer is not exactly, but I think they're a great bet at plus 150, right? Because I have them as, say, plus 120.
Isn't it amazing that the person that's never placed a bet before, the point spread is by far the tougher thing to explain, but then anybody who's just bet a little bit, money line differentials are way tougher to explain to people.
My older brother is a doctor. If I try, and he's watched football his entire life, it's the only sport he likes is the NFL. If I try to begin to explain a point spread to him, let's say it's a -7. So you see, Ron, if they're above -7, you have to win by more than 7 to cash. He's like, I can't. His brain just shuts off. I'm like, aren't you like a medical school graduate?
I feel like the most common one I get is when you're explaining the dog and they're like, well, okay, got it.
Oh,
what,
the dog.
What happens if they win?
Oh.
And you're like, you're good.
You're still good if they
you're
win.
Good. Yeah.
So I don't have to lose by less than 7? No, yes, correct. Right. You get
you
all
can,
of that.
You can win too. Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. No, I wouldn't bet the Tigers now. Yesterday was the time to get in on them. And yesterday when I gave it out at plus 450, it was still available widely at plus 380. That was the time to get it.
Okay. The Minnesota Twins. We hit on this a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Yes, they'll make it at minus 270. No, they will not at plus 220.
Well, so the question becomes, would I bet them at no plus 220? Probably not. Because, again, it's like it was sort of like that, you know, what we're talking about, the National League Rookie of the Year. And when Skeens was available at plus 310. But by the time you and I got off air here, it was like plus 205. Yeah. It's like, it's not worth it.
Yeah,
so no, I don't think the Twins at plus 220 is the way to go either. Like, I think, again, yesterday was the time to get it.
Yeah, just betting aside, most likely in, though, Minnesota Twins for you?
Likely, say again?
They're likely in.
No, I believe that the Tigers will pass them.
Okay, interesting.
I do believe that. And today's ball game between the Twins and the Guardians is as important as any.
Okay, and then we final one in the American League, the Seattle Mariners. 20-1 to make it. No minus 8,000.
I mean, they're 20-1 for a reason. They're three games out. They're three games behind the Twins. And we're talking three games with... You know, again, either depending on the club, 9 or 10 games left in the Major League Baseball season. And in the case of the Mariners and the Twins, the Mariners have 10 games left and the Twinkies also have 10 games left. So you're trying to, you know, you have to make up that in such a short amount of time. That's why they're 20-1. I would not bet that. And by the way, schedule wise, both, you know, Minnesota's schedule, is slightly easier than the Mariners or any schedule.
Yeah, and this is always like the biggest part of that, right? Like no matter how much you like the Mariners or their remaining schedule, the other teams have to lose too. Like that's a part of it at this point in the season. All right, National League time. The New York Mets, will they make the playoffs? Yes, minus 265, no plus 220.
Well, I wouldn't bet it now. I have the Braves at plus 750 to miss, and we have it on the show at 8-1 to miss. So the question becomes, oh, would you bet the Mets at minus 265? Yes. No, I wouldn't, because their schedule, again, as we talked about, it's 3 Philly, 3 Atlanta, and then 3 Milwaukee. They've got the toughest remaining schedule. Mm-hmm. By the way, it's 4 Philly, pardon me, 3 Milwaukee and 3 Atlanta. So I wouldn't bet the yes at minus 265, even though I think they're going to get there.
Gotcha.
It's too rich. It's too steep of a price.
I might be circling back to a question on this one, but we're going to move forward to the Diamondbacks because I think this is where the schedule's reflected, right? Aren't they tied in the standings?
D-backs are tied with the Mets, but they're right. Two games up on the Braves as well.
Right. So you have minus 400 here to make the playoffs, plus 320 not to make the playoffs.
D-backs are getting in.
Yeah.
I think they're getting in.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now we go to the Atlanta Braves where it is minus 110 on both sides.
Yeah, I mean, and that's because of the Mets schedule and the fact that they play each other three times, right? There's no bet for me here. I would not hate you either way there.
If you think the Braves are going to make the playoffs, would you rather bet the Mets no at +2/1?
Yes, even though you have two shots at it with the Diamondbacks and Mets, but yes, I would still go that way because of the head-to-head. We'll come back, crack, unscripted, exclusively on the Numbers Game.